And I just look back and I think, God, you've blessed me so much. That's why I told Lisa, I said, sweetheart, we are not watching these end time videos. We are going to focus on doing what God's asked us to do. And God just kept showing me that. And then he would lead me to Psalm 37. And I'd be like, oh, Lord God, you know, do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. Don't be overly anxious. The Lord laughs at them. He knows their day is coming. And I would read this and go, wow, Lord, you really do. Don't be worried and upset. And what did Jesus say? He said, you know, watch out that you're not weighed down by a flood of dissipations and the anxieties of life. What are all these videos creating but anxieties and worries? Oh man, the virus. Oh man, the mark. Oh man, the COVID. Oh man, the this, the that, the this government, the that. You people are being weighed down. They're becoming Marthas and they don't even know it. And it's these Christian channels that are doing it to people. They're doing it for hits, and they are actually, they don't even realize it. They don't even realize it. You think of like a channel like AOC Network, and the guy, I have no doubt he's sincere. But what you see is in all these things is these people are actually being used to create Marthas. They have no idea. They think that by putting together all these clips of quote pastor this and pastor so-and-so saying this end time deal and this end time deal and this prophetic sign and this, that, and the other warning, man, this has been going on for years. Oh, wow. September 17th, 2021. I wanted to capture how I'm so thankful. I've been thanking the Lord already and just thanking him for the growth that I see in my Christianity in these last couple of years, where the Lord just continues to grow. And you think that you can't grow anymore. You kind of always think that there's not much more ground to cover. I'm just amazed. I am just amazed at how gentle, delicate, patient, thorough, and complete is the teaching and the character development and the growth of the Holy Spirit in our lives of those of us who continue to go on with God. It's just so wonderful. I mean, here I am. I'm standing on the seventh day since 9/11. So this begins the seventh day since the whole marriage date, you know, went into death. Our Isaac was sacrificed. And it's incredible because this morning is the devotion that comes about the Austin Sparks holding things loosely, letting things go before God. And he speaks specifically of the Isaac example and how God uses this to prove to us what's in our hearts. And it's the exact words I had basically spoken to Lisa the day after God gave me the insight that our marriage was our Isaac and for we needed to sacrifice it. And here it is, day seven. This devotion comes in about Isaac, and it was 7 days ago we put ours up on the altar. Just beautiful stuff. So thankful for Father. And I'm just looking at this last week, and I was just thinking about, I was reflecting on the fact that I am just continually growing. I told Lisa last night, I said, sweetheart, I've grown as a Christian in the last 5 months. I said, I see new things developing in me. There's a sweetness that's coming and there's a gentleness. And she has brought out some things in me of Christ that are just beautiful. And I love it. Absolutely love it. And looking back on all that I was when I was with P and thinking about how I was growing so much through that situation. And now I am just, I look back and I think, wow, I was really growing with P, and wow, I'm really making some amazing progress with God's help. And he's teaching me some big, profound, deep things. And now it's like I see different kind of growth. I see some just beautiful things that God is doing. And it's just almost like some finishing touches, if you will. Not that I'm even finished, but maybe just kind of some tidying up, to use the words of my wife. She likes to tidy things up, and maybe some tidying up and then some deeper, richer understanding of some of the principles and greater strength and faith, greater understanding, greater visibility of seeing that God's intentional and very practical hand in all of this, working for our good. There's just so many wonderful things. Further desire to see God glorified, more emphasis and focus on defending my testimony, my walk in my testimony for God's glory. You know, and seeing that we're fighting not just for ourselves more and more, but we're fighting for other people. Just really being more and more aware of that, and yet not having to be aware of it. The vow that I've now taken to never to defend myself anymore. I'll defend the Word of God, but not to defend myself and just allow the Lord. It's like I've died also. There's another Isaac, my precious ability to defend myself. You know, and I've had a lot of practice of having to defend myself, being so falsely accused all these years. And just really now get into this place where once we went on the other side of this, it's like that even came into death. Like I feel no need at all to defend myself anymore. And really, I would think I was tempted the next day in a particular recording regarding the child support issue. Oh, I better explain that. Oh, I better. Nope. Forget about it. I'm going to allow the Lord to defend me. That is a huge growth. So thankful for that. It's a huge leap forward where I can be free of my fear that if I don't defend myself, other people that don't have all the information may come along and read somebody's comments and stumble because, oh, they worded it so well. And, oh, they're convinced that God is the hater of marriage and I'm the twister of scripture and I'm a heretic and a devil and all the things they call me, and they come even with their best arguments and scriptures and all that stuff. And there's always the missing also writtens, because it's just being done out of a legalistic spirit. Like Jesus would always have to say, you know, stop making wrong judgments and judging things by external appearances and make right judgments. He's saying you're looking at only the outside of things. You need to look deep in. You need to look inside. The new covenant is an internal covenant. Look beyond just the letter that killeth. Look at the spirit behind it. And measure a tree by its fruit and see that wisdom is proved right by her actions and all these kind of things. So I just feel a freedom from it. Like the last two episodes I've put up, I have not even looked at the first comment, and I'm not going to. I told Lisa, I said, sweetheart, we're still in the fight. Don't even look at the comments. Let people say what they want to say. Let those people hash it out. And she said, oh, I had taken a quick look the day before yesterday, and I saw where some people were kind of starting to argue in one thread over whether or not you were actually in New Zealand yet or not, conjecturing and all that stuff. I said, well, of course, you can't blame. I mean, you and I have been conjecturing, and of course people are going to conjecture, but nonetheless, I said, let's just stay away from the comment section. Let's keep our eyes straight ahead. You know, I think about how much God has wrought into me this past 2 years from 2020, the idea of being a Mary over a Martha. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for that. Where I don't have to worry about all the things. I think about if you were to take a snapshot of my mind and heart over the last 2 years and compare it to a lot of the Christians, even some who follow the channel, and I'm thinking of some people in particular, and look at what their minds and hearts were set on, what they worried about, what they focused on, what they thought were big fears and worries and issues, and what they were watching on the news and what they were watching on YouTube and caring about and thinking was so important, and getting themselves worried and upset about all kinds of things. And here God is telling me, don't worry about that. You just do what I ask you to do. And I'm thinking to myself, what an incredible gift from God. What an incredible gift from God. Even though I'm suffering to do the will of God and being tested and proven and all that stuff, I'm looking at Lisa and I going, we have the life, man. This is the life. This is the life to simply do what God has asked you to do. And whether it's seen or not, who cares? But don't be worried about the world and all of its troubles and all of its worries. And I thank the Lord God that he's given me this wisdom to see that whatever you worry about today, a month from now, it's going to be a completely different worry. You know, and the most recent example was the lady who said, my story and all the stuff that I'm walking through doesn't matter because Israel's at war. I mean, Jesus is coming back right away. This is what's important. Is this Israel at war? And I thought, wow, how foolish. We're so foolish and we don't realize it. We're all a bunch of Marthas. And I said, and I have to say it, I was right again. I said, give it a month. This will be gone. It'll be nothing. A couple of weeks, it'll be gone. It'll be something new. And Jesus still won't have come back. And he still hasn't come back. And that little war with Israel was just as inconsequential as the wars of the last 10 years over in Israel. all the Hezbollah bombs and suicide bombings and all that stuff, that's all inconsequential. What's consequential is, are you doing the will of God in your life? I just thank God how he showed me this so much in these last 2 years with the COVID and the, you know, the Antichrist agenda, mark of the beast with the quote vaccines and all these things that people, I've even noticed one reputable, somewhat reputable Christian channel not too recently. I just saw it in my recommendeds and it had hundreds of thousands of views within the first, you know, week because he's exploiting, you know, the whole COVID, the vaccine threat and all that. And is this the mark of the beast, et cetera, et cetera. You know, you can't buy or sell. He showed a picture of an image on it. And I look at this and I think to myself, wow, look at how it's like, you know, just sensationalize it all. Get a bunch of eyeballs on your channel. Where are you doing the, and here it is. Look at my life. Look at the contrast. In my life, God's asking me to trust him for this promise and to look at this real practical situation he's got me going through. And he's having me move to another country and send my tiny house over and go through all the things I'm going through in this story, practically and personally, walking with my God and watching my wife walk with her God and helping other people around us that maybe are not walking with God, but are, you know, believe in him, but are not really walking with him and trying to help him. And it's just so practical and it's just so hidden and only a few thousand people are watching it. And it's just beautiful and heaven is pleased. And God just keeps giving me these affirmations and confirmations and blessings and answered prayers. And God is answering our prayers. It's just incredible. He's answered our prayers about money. He answers our prayers about this thing. And he answers our prayers about the timing of that. And he answers our prayers about all kinds of little things that we're seeing him, you know, we're down, our physical body is hurt. He answers Lisa's prayer to lift me up, or my prayer to lift her up, or what have you. These little practical things of daily life before the Lord. And then you look at the, you step back and you watch what other believers are watching on YouTube and on the news. And you go, wow, what a discrepancy. And you would look to us and say, oh, you guys are so naive and you guys are not in the know. And you guys are just so lost in your own little agenda and your own little world. And you don't even know what's going on in the big grand scheme. Man, what a lie that is. That I used to believe so much. Like you had to know. It's almost like part of Satan's agenda is to get Christians to be so worried and upset about the global agenda in this time when never in history past, 100 years past ago, could you ever have really been this worried and upset about all these things. But now, conspiracy theories can come alive and be alive and full event and be dead in a week. Worries can be alive, millions of views, and be dead in a week. And then there's a new one, and then there's a new one, and then there's a new one. And you just look at it, it's like I just go, wow, look at the last 2 years of my life of all the things I didn't have to worry about that other people worried about. All the emails, Michael, is this the mark of the beast? Michael, is the COVID this? Michael, is this that? Is this that? Is this? And all these concerns that people, and you see what God has really helped me to see in this. This is Luke 8:5. The seed that fell along the path where the birds of prey come and devour the word of God so that you may not believe and be saved, or that you may not believe and be delivered into whatever God's will or promise is. That is it. He uses these things to try to steal, kill, and destroy and remove the seed where you're sitting like Mary. It's like this. Everybody is supposed to be Mary's. That's the truth. Jesus makes that clear. It doesn't matter how much, you know, you feel bad for Martha in that situation. God is trying to say, Martha, you should choose what is better. Mary has, and it will not be taken away from her. She's not better than you, Martha, but she certainly is better off than you. And she's chosen wisely what's better, and that's to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to his personal counsel, perhaps personal words to her, and reflect on what those things personally mean to her and what God would expect her, how he would expect her to respond to them. And Martha is worried and upset about all the other things going on. And that is exactly the way Christians are today because of the internet. It has robbed them of any real life. It looks, there's a lot of frantic busyness, but it's like a treadmill Christianity. It's going super fast, getting nowhere. And you're burning yourself up. I literally have a particular person in mind when I think of when I'm saying this, but I have several people and I get these emails and you can see people, they think that they're doing good by worrying. And it's like you get addicted to it and you can't stop it. And you don't even realize the bondage you're in to bad news, the bondage you're in to try to anticipate what is the next evil thing that's going to happen regarding whatever subject. What's the next Antichrist agenda? What's the next Israel agenda? What's the next blah, 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 fill in the blank. What's the next sign? I mean, people have been doing this for thousands of years, and I've tried to tell people, no, Jesus is not coming back as soon as you think he is. He's not. I've been saying this since early on in my ministry, and what am I saying? I'm saying be dressed and ready for service. Do what the Lord is asking you to do. Do his will in your life. Don't be worried about what all the devil's will is in everybody else's life. And I just keep having this gratitude that comes up in my heart where the Lord constantly, when COVID-19 and all this horrible stuff was coming out and the Black Lives Matter and all the police stuff and spreading around the world and all this weird stuff that everybody was worried about and the quote churches being, you know, locked down and them making some big, like our church even counts for anything. I mean, only a carnal Christian wouldn't see this. The so-called church doesn't count for anything and suddenly all these false believers get all excited. Oh man, our church is being persecuted and attacked and yeah, this is the government and all that. Man, what a joke in heaven. What a joke. Such a joke. It's pathetic. And I saw it and I look at this and it's just amazing. I obeyed God. And I said, Lord, I'm upset for people about all these things. And he just kept saying to me, Martha, Martha, worried and upset about many things. Only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better. And it will not be taken away from her. And I thank the Lord God Almighty that he gave me that. That he told me I don't have to worry. And I see how much this has grown in me in the last 2 years where I felt the temptation to jump on the bandwagon. I felt the temptation to go out and be relevant. There's this temptation. And that's what I saw this recent Christian do. And I go, I know exactly what he's doing. He's just trying to be relevant and trying to capture traffic off of what's going on. There's not anything necessarily wrong with that. But to a degree, it is a type of manipulation. I don't know the guy's heart. I'm not going to judge his heart. But I think he's wrong about the vaccine, and I think he's just doing it for hits. And I could do the same thing. I could have done this I could have put YouTube ads. With my ability to communicate and storytell and all that, just by throwing some ads, maybe doing a little bit jazzier job on some of my videos and then focusing more on, man, there is no doubt I could have hundreds of thousands of extra subscribers added to my channel if I just wanted to stop doing what God's asked me to do and tell the story of all that I've done in your life. I go, no, that's kind of boring and tired, God. Let's talk about COVID. Let's talk about the judgments of God. Let's talk about the end times, the Antichrist. Let's talk about the third temple. Let's talk about the mark of the beast, God. And people are so, it's unbelievable how many of these people are going to go to hell. And they were sitting watching every single end times YouTube video. I've been warning people about this for years. It's almost like I have come to despise these channels that focus on end times. They're doing it for hits. And they don't even realize it. They don't even realize it. You think of like a channel like AOC Network, and the guy, I have no doubt he's sincere. But what you see is in all these things is these people are actually being used to create Marthas. They have no idea. They think that by putting together all these clips of quote, pastor this and pastor so-and-so saying this end time deal and this end time deal and this prophetic sign and this, that, and the other warning, man, this has been going on for years. This has been going on for years and it just keeps people worried and upset and there's never ever going to run out new something to worry about. Satan's not going to let that happen. Something new controversial to think about. And I think about like this guy, AOC Network, he just keeps putting out all these videos. I haven't seen him in months, but I watched a few and I was like, then as soon as I saw the whole two witness thing, I'm like, nope, This guy's gone off the deep end. He's stretching for things that absolutely make no sense whatsoever. It's just, I mean, just this silly conjecturing, and like, who cares who the two witnesses are? If you just do what Jesus Christ is asking you to do, there's nowhere in scripture that says you have to figure out who the two witnesses are, that you should do a video and make it all mysterious and get a bunch of people worried about something. No, let me ask you, what, do you know what your two worst sins are? Do you know what the two most important scriptures for you to know from Jesus Christ about how to get free from sin are? Do you know what it means to be a Mary over a Martha? I think to myself, wow, I could get on this preaching pretty quick about this, that this is what's so terribly sad and so terribly frustrating, is people do not realize they are being made Marthas in the name and subject of Jesus Christ in Christianity. They are being made Marthas. And I'm just so thankful to God. I obeyed him and I said, Lord, okay. I mean, this is incredible. I had no idea that I was going to record this subject matter, but this is incredible. You talk about God's ways are not our ways. It's like Jesus's brother, I think it was James, comes to him and says, oh, nobody who wants to be known hides himself, but he goes out and makes himself known and he tells people what he's doing. And you can see right there, that's the thinking of man. That's not the thinking of God. And Jesus said, you know, the right time is always for you, but my time has not yet come. The right time is not yet for me. That does not sound at all kosher with what the natural human being thinks. The natural human being, no, man, you got to be relevant. You got to get out there and get that message out and try hard in your effort. And I don't even know why I'm laying down this recording right now. It's just that I feel so thankful that God kept hitting me. I wasn't worried about these things for myself. I was worried about them for other people and how it would deceive. And God said to me, Martha, Martha, do not worry about these things. Just do what I'm asking you to do. And I remember saying, Lord, this doesn't make sense. Why are you telling me to talk about, you know, my apostate bride and, you know, my faith journey to wait for her and all that you're teaching me in this process? Why are you telling me to focus on this when the world has got all these problems? And God just kept showing me that. And then he would lead me to Psalm 37. And I'd be like, oh, Lord God, you know, do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. Don't be overly anxious. The Lord laughs at them. He knows their day is coming. And I would read this and go, wow, Lord, you really do. Don't be worried and upset. And what did Jesus say? He said, you know, watch out that you're not weighed down by a flood of dissipations and the anxieties of life. What are all these videos creating but anxieties and worries? Oh, man, the virus. Oh, man, the mark. Oh, man, the COVID. Oh, man, the this, the that, the this government, the that. You people are being weighed down. They're becoming Marthas and they don't even know it. And it's these Christian channels that are doing it to people. I mean, like, I now want to say, as much as I love the guys over in England, the two preachers, I now want to just say, okay, guys, come on. I mean, I've said this before, long before I even knew them. Okay, how many of these The World is Falling Apart videos do you need to see? Why do you got enough evidence. Why do you have to keep going on this now? You know, every single week to put out a compilation of all the crazy floods and disasters and stuff. Okay, it's like, if you don't get it by now that the world is decaying and we're in the birth pangs, the beginning of these birth pangs, like, why beat a dead horse? Why just keep piling up? But of course, maybe the Lord's will for them is that they continue to do this and catch new exposures and keep it relevant. And at least they are exposing it to the gospel. But, you know, to me, it looks like you're making a bunch of people worried and upset about many things. And it's so easy to get caught up in it because it's like a car accident. Can you look away from a car accident? I mean, how many people can truly just like totally keep their eyes straight ahead, not even give a glance to the car accident? How many people can do that? We are drawn like bugs to a bug zapper to eye tragedy and crisis. And, you know, man, thank God that wasn't me. Or, man, I hope that person's okay. Or, man, well, I thought I was having a bad day. You know, you look at these kind of things and you see how Satan is keeping people worried and upset. And I look at how what God has dealt with me, he would say to me, if somebody were to say, oh, you need to be worried about Israel, Michael. You need to be worried about the mark of the beast. You need to be worried about the vaccine and about COVID-19. And Jesus says to that person, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Michael has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from him. And I wrote these words or spoke these words in journal entries 2 years ago. And man, have they become true. And man, has God made good on his promise. I've 2 years of my life, I have not wasted, to my knowledge, more than 1 hour worrying about or watching any of this stuff in 2 years. Let me just say there might have been a few times where I accidentally watched a documentary I thought was something and I was like, oh boy, I need to stop. I can remember one documentary in particular. And I started saying, nah, this isn't what God's asking me to worry about. It was good, legitimate stuff. And if God asks you to worry about that because, like, you know that that's part of your purpose, so be it. It wasn't mine. I do remember that time. And let's just say that in 2 years, there might have been total, to be safe, 5 hours worth of that type of content in 2 years that might have been seen. I doubt it. That's being very excessive. I look at how much God has kept me from. I look at how many things tried to get me worried and upset. I remember seeing a particular documentary that exposed, you know, this real terrible underground, like, sex slaves type scandal thing in Hollywood and all this with these young people and children and celebrities having sex with young teenagers and all horrible stuff, horrible stuff. And somebody had, somehow or another, I had seen a link to one of these videos and I started watching this. And then I have a friend of mine who's in California who's kind of in the know with a lot of these really wealthy, rich people from wine country. And he confirmed, oh yeah, man, I know about this stuff. And I saw how I gave energy and indignation over to that. And there was this darkness that came over me about thinking about that people do that kind of stuff and it's real. And I look back on that and I go, man, that was like 2 hours of my life completely wasted. God has not called me to fix that problem. God has not called me to worry about what evil men are doing over in that corner or in that corner and that corner. And I look back on how I wasted at least 2 hours or more of my life watching a documentary that got me all upset and offended about stuff of which God has never asked me to be the first concern over. There are so many things in this world to be so easily offended and caught up in and find as a, quote, good cause to go save. And if it is not God's will for you, what an absolute waste of time and a shame. It's a work that will be burned up in the end. And I just look back and I think, God, you've blessed me so much. That's why I told Lisa, I said, sweetheart, we are not watching these end time videos. We are going to focus on doing what God's asked us to do. And here we are. I think about how much my neighbor hears me praying because I pray so loud and I've had to apologize to her a few times. And I think about recently, you know, when I'm praying in the house, I think to myself, I become conscious of the fact that I might be praying a little loud. And I think to myself, like with Lisa, sometimes I end up praying loud and, or just by myself. And I think to myself, man, I bet that lady thinks, wow, does this guy, is this all he does is pray? I just was thinking about that. About how often she would hear me and know that I'm praying. And how it just goes on and on and on. And you're like, well, is this ever going to end? And how she, yes, I was just thinking about, like, here I am, shut up, in my own little, you know, world, private, what have you, except for the parts that God has me share. And I'm just by myself or with Lisa and praying and we're doing God's will. And meanwhile, there are millions of people in that very moment so worried and upset, and it's so tantalizing to sensationalize it and pass it on. It's a real temptation. I know I have felt it. I have done it. I used to watch something. I go, Jared, you got to watch this. And finally, it was like, why are you going to make him upset about that? I realized, like, why pass that on to him? Is that going to do anything to help build him up? Is that going to help him stay on track for, you know, what God's asking him to do? And every once in a while, we would share a little article with each other about, I don't know, aliens or whatever. And it just totally distracts you away from what God has asked you to do. And so finally I was like, yep, I'm not sharing any more of that kind of stuff with him. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to look at it, what people pass on to me. The other thing I would do sometimes is I would get a really just a very, very bad email. Like something just really what would be considered ridiculous. It would be some subject about maybe like obeying the Sabbath yet again out of thousands. And here's another one. And Jared and I, or the world is flat. When I would get the world is flat ones, I would send them, oh brother, this guy's clearly supposed to be subscribed at your channel, you know, not mine, and just teasing him. And I even stopped doing that. And I'm like, why pass on that so that he too then has a negative thought about either that person or that subject, and it distracts him. And so supposing he's in the middle of his work, he's trying to focus, and all of a sudden a text pops up from me about, oh, look at this article, look at this email or whatever. And I'm thinking to myself, how inconsiderate, like I'm taking some trash and throwing it on his plate and say, here, man, deal with this. And if he has a caring heart, or if I know that he's indignant about something about it, then I'm actually distracting him. And am I feeding him something that is in support of his mission for God, that's in support of him serving God, that's in a line with his mission and his ministry? Well, then that counts. But if it's just one of these left field evils that there are just countless numbers of, why pass that on to somebody and say, here, I just found a hot steaming pile of dung. It's the foulest I've ever seen. You want to take a sniff, put this on your plate for a while. I mean, seriously, that's what it's like. It's like you being out on a trail with somebody and you come upon a really just nasty, I don't know, dead carcass or steaming pile of nasty animal diarrhea or something. And then you drag everybody over, hey, take a look at this. And meanwhile, you're out in here trying to spend time with the Lord and trying to have peace or whatever, but somebody comes along and points out the dung. And now you got images and you got the foul smell and it's just, now you're offended and now you've lost sight of, why did we come out here again? This is what Satan is doing through Christians, quote unquote. I'm not saying they're not all Christians. Satan is turning Christians all over the world into Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. And it is so difficult. It's so difficult to deny yourself. It's difficult to deny yourself, especially when you're afraid of it. It's even more difficult when you deny yourself where you think that you want to speak against these subjects to the benefit of other people. But God says no. It would be a good thing. I remember I did many recordings about this Mary and Martha thing, and the Lord never let me share them. It was just a subject that would come up every once in a while in my journals, but he never let me put the actual video out. He wouldn't even let me do that. He's like, you do what I've asked you to do. And that I'm so very thankful to the Lord for 2 years ago, before, you know, things started getting really difficult around the world, God showing me, you don't have to worry about this. And I have not worried any. It hasn't affected me. I have never had the flu shot in my life. I have never had the COVID shot. I have never had COVID. I've never had the flu. And I've just been able to move on, trusting the Lord. I don't take unnecessary risks. I'm very clean, but I'm not worried. I'm not falling. I have no idea what the latest is with COVID anywhere except for New Zealand, because it affected my ability to get into the country. That's it. Seems like it did, but it doesn't. It doesn't affect my ability. I will get there when God wants me to. So I just wanted to capture this, that I'm so thankful to the Lord for teaching me and reminding me several times when he would see me. Hence, he would show me the Psalm 85:8. He promises, and this is what I would ask any Christian. Do you have peace in your heart? Are you in possession of the peace in your heart, or do you have possession intellectually of the fact that you're supposed to have it as a Christian, but you don't actually? Like, you believe you're supposed to because you have faith that says, you know, peace. Jesus said, peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. I do not give as the world gives. And you know, Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says you'll have a peace that surpasses all understanding. But you would ask, do you really have it? That's a fruit. Do you really have that peace? And if you don't, you know, it is because you are worried and upset about many things and you're not doing the Lord's will. You're not doing the Lord's will in that, and you're deceiving yourself. There was a point I missed that I wanted to make. God, it's funny, 9:22 right now. Go in peace, daughter. Your faith has delivered you. Now see, this is incredible. The phone lights up at 9:22 and I started this recording at 8:48. And both of those attached to the same picture of the woman who was subject to bleeding. That's remarkable. That's remarkable. Go in peace. I mean, look at this. I'm speaking about peace and my phone lights up with one of the premier scriptures about peace right as I'm speaking on the subject of peace. Go in peace, sister, daughter. Your faith has delivered you, healed you, whatever, freed you from your suffering. There's different versions of it. Luke 8:48, Matthew 9:22, and Mark 5. They all have different accounts of the same story. But, you know, you ask yourself, do you have that peace that Mary would have? And you can see, no, you don't. And it's because you keep feeding and you've got this addiction. And what happens is it gets you in a position of fear and you start to be afraid you're going to miss out. And the information, I see how Satan does this. The information comes out so fast and so new that you feel, and you don't even realize you're trusting in this God of information. You're trusting in your ability to know and have the information, the journalists, to keep you safe, to be in the know, rather than trusting that if something terrible happens, God can warn you. Get out of here. You could be sleeping. How do you explain Joseph and Mary sleeping? They're not watching YouTube channels to find out that Antichrist is coming after them. They're sleeping and God wakes Joseph up from a dream. You look at Dailing and Brother Yun. She's sleeping and she has a dream. They're not watching YouTube videos about the Antichrist, you know, government of China coming after Yun. They're sleeping and she gets a dream and she says, we have to go quickly. And he ignores it. And they suffer and he ends up back in jail. But God warned. So, and we don't believe it. We believe the God is of YouTube, that we can get all this information. How ridiculous this is. We don't even realize how stupid we are and how much we don't have faith. Your own intellectual processing power, your own ability to find the right word and subscribe to the right channel and be in the know is your God. That's what you're trusting in. And then what happens is you get addicted to it by fear. You get a little relief when you watch the video, you go, okay, all right, cool. All right, I know what's going on. I think I have the latest insight. But then guess what? 3 days from now, there's going to be some new development, some new thing. Oh man, I need to go see what the latest. And now you're caught. You're in a bondage by fear to the need to anticipate what is the next move of Satan or godless men in this world. And how many, it's unbelievable. This whole time I'm thinking of one particular person and I feel so indignation towards this person, not the person, but I feel indignant towards their behavior in this way and that they call themselves a Christian and they know the Bible so well and they have not been able to understand this simple principle. And I can guarantee you this person does not have any real peace in their heart. They are a Martha, Martha, worried and upset about many things. And there is no shortage of things to worry about. Hence why Jesus said in the end times, be very careful you are not weighed down by a flood of dissipations or the anxieties of life. And this person is weighed down. They have been rendered fruitless and they are no longer responding to the speaking voice of God in their life. They are no longer doing God's personal will for their life. They are skating on the common grace of Matthew 5 that is given even to pagans and heathens and the wicked because they have become a Martha, no longer sitting at the feet of Jesus, patiently waiting to hear his still small voice of what my plan is for your life. Instead, having left the feet of Jesus, she now sits behind a computer regularly to feed the fear monster and try to give herself some sense of security by, quote, being in the know. And she cannot see it. And she's not living by faith in the God who knows everything. She's trying to be her own God. You see, you don't even realize what you're doing. You're trying to be your own deliverer. Habakkuk 1:11, guilty men whose own strength is their God. Shall we say intellectual strength, researching strength. Your own strength, your own ability to be in the know is your God. It takes faith. This is why so many Christians are sitting on YouTube right now watching the latest end time videos, because they don't have faith. If they would just see this, they don't trust God. If you trust God, you let the world go and you do what God asks you to do, and you don't sit always thinking that it's up to you to find out the latest on what Antichrist agenda is or what the government's Mark of the Beast agenda is, or even what the latest false teaching stuff is. I am so thankful to God that He prevented me from being a heresy hunter. When the subject comes up, I'll speak it out. I'll speak outspoken against. When Bill Johnson comes up, I'll be outspoken against that foolishness and that Antichrist garbage. It's the absolute garbage. I'll be outspoken. But you don't ever see me doing, today's list of false teachers and evidences therein. I'm not going to be a heresy hunter. I'm going to be a Jesus follower. If more Christians would wisen up and be a follower of Jesus Christ and do His will in your life, never mind picking up your cross, losing your life to find it, hating your life in this world, hoping in the inheritance that is yours to come, loving others as Christ Jesus loved you, doing unto others as you would have others do unto you, really, really going after the deep things of the Holy Spirit, living a life of power, not words and talk. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of words and power. Or not words, but power. Overcoming the kingdom of Satan, overcoming your flesh, and being able to be an influence for kingdom. Never mind all that. It's better to just sit and watch video after video after video and convince yourself you're in the know, because you have the guy or the gal or the few people that really know, because they're in touch with what's going on. And you're going to save yourself by being attached to that Savior, not the Savior. What foolishness. It's foolishness. And I thank God that I struggled with it myself, and I knew that there's something not right about this, and the Holy Spirit would come and help me. And I'm so thankful that the few times I was tempted to go back, the Lord would show me Psalm 85:8. He promises peace to His people. This is what I meant to speak on when I gave that peace talk. He promises peace to His people, but let them not return to their folly. And He would show me that scripture whenever I would go back, and I'd go, wow, suddenly I'm feeling all this like darkness and this heaviness. And God would be like, yeah, well, look what you just watched 2 hours ago. And with God's help, I've been able to get free of it. And now I live by faith. I've been able to let go of the world and its problems. I've been able to let go of the world's ability to do anything to me that God doesn't allow. I've been willing to let go of Satan's ability to try to, you see, it's this fear, man, if I don't watch the videos, I won't know what to avoid and how Satan's gonna, baloney. You can't find anybody who was used of God who was not warned in some way by God when the time was ready of something they didn't know until they needed to know, like a dream. And here I just gave a contemporary example, Dae Ling and Brother Yun. God can give you a get up and take the child and go to Egypt dream if He needs you to get out, if He needs you to get away. He can do that. In the meanwhile, you could be busy doing His will. You know, supposing, you know, Joseph and Mary were sitting around watching YouTube videos and they were worried and upset about everything and they couldn't even hear the dream when it came because they found the Savior on the YouTube channel and He's the guy that's in the know about what's going on in Egypt. Not this crazy dream I just had. I mean, if you really, it's incredible. I think I could go on and on. I think I've made my point that I'm so thankful to God. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for correcting me and disciplining me and teaching me that You give me full permission. And again, the point is that I was never worried about these things for myself. I was worried about them for other people. And God said, don't worry about these things for other people. How much less should you worry about it for yourself? Mine was a noble cause. I was worried about other people, loving other people. And God says, don't worry about it. Do what I ask you to do. And it looks like I'm making such a little difference. And oh man, somebody like you should have a bigger voice. You should have hundreds of thousands of subscribers. Everybody should be watching and hearing this. Nope. That's not the way it works. God never has ever had it had been the case where the masses come to hear the true word of God. And if they do, it's only for a short time. The prophets were always despised and rejected and thrown in jail and beheaded and cut in half and beat down and ostracized and persecuted. They were not accepted. But oh, if you come with all this titillating insight and the latest news clips that you found from Alibaba, you know, so-so on TV and Al Jazeera and whatever. And it's so amazing. I literally just want to end it by thanking God for the perhaps thousands of different video clips that I could have seen if I would have been a Martha. And I could find myself, I wonder what if God would be willing to show me a picture of what my life would look like right now, 2 years later, if all I would have done was to disobey God and stay in the position of a Martha and just being in denial and justifying and saying, no, God, I got to be in the know. I mean, you say when you see these things coming. Yeah, he said, when you see them coming, not because you're subscribed to a YouTube channel, which gives you, you know, every single detail and every single opinion, and then gives you a different opinion next week and points you to another channel with a different opinion and this thing and that. That is not exact at all what Jesus Christ meant. But I wonder what my life would look like if I would have been a Martha. Right now, just 2 years of where I would be, how my heart. I certainly would not be in this thing with Lisa. I'd probably have tons more subscribers. I'd have lots of hits on my channels. I probably would have caved into doing advertising by this point because, like, well, what's the point? I'm not really doing teaching. I'm just talking about end time stuff and titillating this and titillating that and constantly trying to feed the people what they want to hear. These big YouTube channels, they have no idea that's exactly what they're doing. They're feeding the people exactly what the people want to hear, and they're sprinkling it with some truth, and they think, well, see, brother, I got scriptures and I got this. Yeah, so what? What you don't see is that you're putting out all this fear and all this, that, and the other. Satan is coming right behind those words of God you sprinkled amidst all the poop and all the fear-mongering, and he just draws it right out of their heart so that they cannot believe and be saved and have peace. He promises peace to his people, but let them not return to their folly. God says it's foolishness. Jesus warned about this. Don't be weighed down. And man, am I thankful to God. I am so thankful that I listened to him and I fought and I said, God, it doesn't make any sense. These things are important. Why are you telling me just to tell my personal story? Like, honestly, who cares about my personal story? And I had to say, nevertheless, God, because you have told me to do this, I will do it. And look how little impact it's having. It's, if anything, it's just getting smaller and smaller and less people and becoming more and more controversial as the story goes on. And God's having his way, but nonetheless, I'm looking at myself and I'm thinking to myself, I am so thankful to be where I'm at as a Christian. I'm indignant towards the whole Martha spirit and what Satan's doing around the world to make people Marthas, and they're missing out on Jesus Christ and his plan and personal voice and will for their life. I'm taking this by force, you know, taking this by force, as Matthew 11:12 says, we are forcefully resisting Satan's attempts to draw us away, to put information into our hearts, videos in our inboxes or in our feeds that are going to make us worried and upset. No, you look at how Lisa and I are filled with such peace and love of God and reading his word, syrupy sweet, and we're suffering the personal will of God in our life. That's our responsibility to do that. We're suffering for his will, not because of what we're seeing in fear of what's going to come on this world. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God, it pays to be a Mary. And when you by faith choose to be a Mary, God says, I will not take this away from you. And it's so sad to see people get so wrapped up and so enslaved by their own fears, and they don't even know, because the heart is so deceitfully wicked. They don't even know, and how easy it is to justify. Jesus said, oh my goodness gracious, you people justify yourselves in the eyes of men. Luke 16:15, but God knows your hearts, and what is highly valued among men is detestable in God's eyes. End times teaching is detestable in God's eyes. There is no doubt about it. It's detestable. And I'm not the only one saying this by the Holy Spirit. I remember the words of Charles Spurgeon. Why did God leave the book of Revelation in? To put stains on men's pride. A.W. Pink came to the exact same conclusion after 40 years of preaching the Word of God, that you cannot touch the interpretations of the book of Revelation. I came to the same conclusion before I ever heard the words of Charles Spurgeon or an A.W. Pink or many others who've concluded, where they finally humbled themselves. It's pride. Men think they can interpret that book. They cannot interpret that book any more than they can interpret their dreams after they had a bad pizza and a cold beer. You cannot interpret that book. And in the end, God will show men are fools. It's like a dream. You will not know what that means until it happens in real life. I am absolutely convinced the Holy Spirit of God gave that to me. Like the dream I had when I was in Panama. I knew that it was of God. It was deeply mysterious. But I didn't know the meaning of it. I didn't know the full meaning of it for 18 months later until something in that came true exactly, down to the number 14. And like the Holy Spirit said, count the people. And I did. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is the dream. I could not understand what that quote revelation meant in that dream until what was in the dream came to pass. And so it is going to be with the book of Revelation. God is not going to allow men to figure that book out. It is so clear that the greatest minds have already tried. And so many of them, if you just go read what they wrote, you see, well, that wasn't true. You read the next guys, well, yeah, you got that right probably, but that's definitely not true. And you can just see this over and over again. I mean, somebody sent me a book a couple years ago. This guy claims to have spent 20 years of his life, and I would just give anything to say, my friend, honestly, what has this yielded for you in 20 years of studying end times by way of feet on the ground, fruit production for the Lord Jesus Christ, such that it results in sin being thrown out of people's lives and hearts, and people picking up the word of God in power and doing his personal will, taking up the cross, denying themselves, and living like a child in faith before God? I would want to say, where is that fruit in that of the 20 years that you spent? And here's what's so interesting. This is one of the best proofs. He spent 20 years studying this end times and Antichrist stuff and the end, the Lord is, you know, coming, all this kind of stuff. And it's best I could see, it's on its seventh revision. What does that tell us? That you cannot sit down and interpret the book of Revelation. That should be so painfully obvious. You cannot interpret the book of Daniel. You cannot interpret these books of Ezekiel. Until the thing that that thing writes about comes to pass, you will not know, nor will anybody else. Yes, is there going to be somebody who may guess some of these things right? Of course. If you only have two options, two choices, or even four, and somebody guesses, I mean, there's a small percentage of the time that you will guess it. But you look at this guy, he's 20 years studied it, seventh revision. Why? Because he keeps getting different ideas, different things. And in this particular book, the guy made an exceptionally strong case based on some facts that I had never even seen. I read it because a person asked me, man, will you read this? He made an exceptionally strong case with facts that look like facts that Prince Charles is the Antichrist. And I'd never heard that one before. I'd heard of so many other things. This guy made this exceptional case, and he showed a couple of video clips, not in his book, but he pointed to a couple of things, and this, that, and the other. And you look at it, and you can go, wow, that's pretty compelling evidence. No, he's not. He's not the Antichrist. It's just remarkable to see how much of people's lives they waste getting lost in one of these ancillary subjects. I remember Sparks talked about this, how you see somebody, they're going on with the Lord, and then suddenly there's this thing, this subject that catches their attention, and they go off to that and they get lost. I'll never forget the lady in my mom's Bible study years ago who was boasting about, I've studied healing for 10 years. I'm like, really? You studied healing for 10 years? What? How can you not see the insanity of that? Why? I don't understand this. How can you think that it's okay to study a subject like healing for 10 years? Can you imagine going up to the apostles and go, bro, you can't do that until you studied it for 10 years. The only way that resulted is because I studied it for 10 years. No, it happens by faith, not by 10 years of studying. And this is such an incredible case. If people would just recognize, okay, I studied 10 years on faith healing and on healing and all this kind of stuff, okay? Okay, so then let's look at the results you're getting. And let's just be honest and let's judge a tree by its fruit. This woman's husband was always on the verge of having to go to the hospital. He had serious, serious health issues. And there was some serious problems that happened, and he was severely overweight. And the only way, after 10 years of healing, this guy could get any help from his relief is surgery with a doctor. Where you go and have it all stapled up so you can't put anything bigger than like a walnut in your stomach. And that, after 10 years of studying healing, is a slap in the face. There's no other way to look at it. It doesn't matter how offensive this is. This is the truth. If people would just face the truth of what they're looking at, if people would just face the truth of what result am I getting from the direction I'm taking? What is the fruit produced in my heart in this? What is the fruit produced in my life? If people would just look at the fruit, and they're not willing to do it, they're not willing to call a spade a spade. They justify. You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your hearts. What is highly valued amongst men is detestable in God's eyes. We're not willing to say, well, but what I'm valuing is detestable. We're not willing to say that. I've had to look at a lot of things. Like, I remember how I looked at my stupid dirt bike. I've made so many mentions of this throughout the years. I looked at how idolatrous and filthy my heart was towards a mechanical, man-made object that brought me so much pleasure and so much escape. I was not spiritual. I was entirely carnal and worldly, godless as they come, yet professing to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm able to look and see the fruit of that horrendous idolatry in my heart. Wicked idolatry. If people would just look at the fruit. What is the fruit of your heart? Like this whole thing of being a Martha or a Mary. What is the fruit saying in your heart? Do you really, like, will you just go stand in the mirror and look at yourself and say, I have the peace and joy and rest of Jesus Christ. I have it every single day, even in the midst of horrible suffering. We may have a few hours where Satan has just absolutely assailed us. We go to prayer, we go to the Word, and we wait. And shortly thereafter, after we've suffered a little while, 1 Peter 5:10, the God of all grace comes and strengthens us again, making us strong, firm, and steadfast. And we find that no matter what we go through, the joy of the Lord is our strength, and the increase of His peace and grace knows no bounds. That's a fruit. We just went through the worst possible thing you could go through, publicly announcing a date of a marriage that has come and gone with no marriage. And forget about what other people think about it. We want to be with each other as husband and wife so bad that we've suffered for 5 months every day as a result of this, because it's so good. If it wasn't so good, we wouldn't be suffering so bad. These was exactly what Lisa said last night. We wouldn't, if it was just mediocre, we wouldn't have this such intense suffering. And yet we have this peace. And you look at, no matter what happens, by the grace of God, we have this peace. You will recognize a tree by its fruit. And in the new covenant, it's primarily the fruit that comes out of the heart, not circumstances. None of the disciples or Jesus had circumstances that you would judge as, yeah, man, God's really with that guy, homeless. As soon as you look at circumstances, yeah, God's really with that guy. He said that no one who, you know, puts His words into practice will ever see death. And look at that fool upon that cross. He's a false teacher. The very guy who said nobody who ever lived to, you know, listen to His words and put them into practice would die is dying as we speak. So, wow. I'll just leave it for there. Man, oh man.